KBOO News In Depth, where we take a deeper look at the top news stories impacting our community.
Local Portlanders of the Islamic, Christian, and Jewish faiths yesterday prayed together in a special service for peace. KBOO's Lisa Loving spoke with Harris Safar of the Ahmadiyya Muslim community about what happened and what else is coming up.
So it was an event that was co-organized and co-hosted between three different congregations. It was primarily led by the St. Mark Presbyterian Church in Southwest Portland. And they share a worship space, a building with the Panay Or Jewish congregation. They partnered with us within the Ahmadiyya Muslim community. So between the three congregations, we organized this prayer service that would blend the traditions, the Christian tradition, the Jewish tradition, as well as the Muslim tradition, in one service that was about an hour long. It was really a way to bring people together, to pray for peace together, to pray for improved conditions and standard of living across our religious divide, and also as a way to bring people from around the country and around the world to this realization that people can worship together. In that, this week, as you may know, the General Assembly, the 222nd General Assembly of the Presbyterian Church, is being hosted this time in Portland, Oregon. They meet every other year. And so there's about 3,000 delegates from around the country and around the world that have met here in Portland. And so we had invited delegates from that assembly as well, and about 50 of those delegates, ranging from Omaha, Nebraska to Scotland, that were in attendance as well. And so that's what we did as a way to bring everyone together, and it was a beautiful service.
I have to ask you, what was the service like? Did you divide it up into three different time slots and each one was devoted to each spirituality or faith? Because I don't know what that looks like, and I'm kind of excited to hear what you did.
it was very unique. And in fact, many of those Presbyterian leaders who were in attendance said that they had taken some notes to take back home with them. So when we were organizing this and we had our discussions beforehand, it was all about weaving in prayers and recitations and even songs from the three different traditions all together throughout the service. So we began with a hymn or a song in the beginning from a Jewish tradition. Then there was a welcome address by Reverend Barbara Campbell from St. Mark as the host. Then we did the three calls to prayer from a Christian perspective, how they call people to prayer, from a Jewish perspective, how they call people to prayer, and then Islamic perspective, where we did our call to prayer. So we even had one member from our mosque who did what's called the Adhan, which is a loud call to prayer where we sing that it's time for prayer to begin. And throughout the rest of the service, it was like that, where we basically took turns. We did readings from our scriptures, so the Torah was brought out in the large scroll, and they recited that, and followed by a short reflection, about a 5-10 minute reflection on what we learned from this. Then they did that from the New Testament, and then I led the reflection after a member from our mosque recited a verse from the Quran. And so that's how we continue to intertwine the wisdom and the prayers from all three of our traditions into one holistic service.
But it must have taken some time to organize that, and now it'll probably take a little bit of time to think about how that happened. So I get the sense that you built relationships or deepened relationships you already had within these other communities. Can you just talk about that a little bit, your ongoing relationship with these two other communities that you did the observance with yesterday?
Oh, absolutely. It's been a pleasure to work with both St. Mark as well as Panay Or. We've had a relationship with them already, these three congregations, St. Mark, Panay Or, and the Ahmadiyya Muslim community. We're the ones that came together too, and we co-founded this summer youth camp that we call Abraham's Tent, that is happening for the last 2-3 years now, where it's a week-long youth camp that's for kids between, I think, the ages of second grade through middle school. And it's all to, we may be different, Jews, Christians, Muslims, but we center around this figure of being descendants of the prophet Abraham. And so so we use that as a way to unite, talk about peace, talk about conflict, etc. And so it's been a wonderful experience. I've learned a lot from this process. I've learned a lot about the Christian faith as well as the Jewish faith. And I've deepened my level of respect that I have for both traditions, as well as understanding just how much similarity we have. And that's what I love. Not that I try to pretend like we're all the same, because obviously we have differences. But to see just how much we have in common, and then and just how similar we are as human beings even, that was a wonderful experience. And I'm looking forward to a continued relationship. We've worked with Pnei Or and even St. Luke Lutheran Church in the past, and the 10-year anniversary of 9/11 service that we had organized. And so we have a very strong relationship. And so anyone who says that Jews and Muslims hate each other, they're fighting over Jerusalem, or Christians and Muslims hate each other because they're attacking each other in various parts of the world, all they have to do is come to one of our services when we do this together to see that we're actually quite close friends, and that's not impossible.
So with Abraham's Tent, is that denominational as well? Do the kids all get together?
Yes, absolutely. So first, it's not just for Presbyterian Christians. It's for anyone from the Christian side. It's from any Christians. It's not just Jewish kids from Pnei Or. It could be from a congregation in Beth Israel or anywhere else. And same with the Muslim side. It's not just for Ahmadiyya Muslim community. It could be from any of the other mosques in Portland. Or anyone else who wants to join. It's really about letting the kids interact with each other. The only segmentation we do is a class that's focused on second and third graders, another class that's focused on fourth and fifth graders, and then another class that's focused on, I think, 6-8 or 6-7. But in each class, there are Jewish kids, Christian kids, and Muslim kids all together, and they work on art projects, songs, they hear lessons. So far, each year we've done this, we've heard tremendous feedback, not only from the kids, but even from the parents. I'll admit there even were a couple of parents from our mosque that were a little squirmy about this idea. They didn't know what their kids will be learning, but they're the ones that came back to me later and said how this seemed like a really wonderful experience. And it led to some awesome conversations at the dinner table between parent and child based off what they learned that day about the other faiths. So we're looking forward to doing this again. So next year we'll already start planning for 2017 to see how we can make it even bigger and include even more people.
Something that's slightly shifting focus for a second. I know that after violent events from last week and ongoing violence around the world, that in the United States we have a lot of learning to do to get away from stereotypes that we have and misunderstandings, political misunderstandings that we have for a variety of reasons, especially when it comes to people who live in our local communities. And Harris, I wanted to ask you, for people who are listening right now, and maybe they don't feel comfortable around Islamophobic language that we hear, sometimes it's the kind of thing people might even hear at the dinner table or at the Little League sandlot this summer. For people who want to find ways to build bridges between cultures, what are some of the tips you might have for people who want to try to defuse the Islamophobia and fear and hatred that we encounter even in the grocery store line, for people that want to do that, what can we do? Is that a weird question?
No, I mean it's a very genuine and touching question. I mean, the easiest thing is if you already know a Muslim, that arms you right there. Because once you hear statements or claims or fears from people about Muslims are violent or they're oppressive or they support groups like ISIS or whatever it may be that they're that Muslims are X or Islam teaches X. If you already know a Muslim, it's really easy for you to at least say that, hey, I'm not an Islamic scholar, but I actually have a Muslim friend or my neighbor or whatever it may be, my kid's teacher, and here's what my experience has been with them. So clearly, Muslims aren't all bad. So if people are talking in the broad brush, then it's an easy way to say, and that's a very unsophisticated way of looking at the world's problems. You can't just paint everyone with the same brush. So that's the first thing. I think that's really helpful. For those who don't know a Muslim, we do try to make ourselves very available. Within, I can at least speak for our own congregation, the Ahmadiyya Muslim community. Now, we built the first mosque ever in the city of Portland in 1987, so we've withstood the test of time, and we have a very open-door policy. All of our Friday prayer services, each of these Saturday evening open houses that we're doing during the month of Ramadan, it's all meant to make ourselves available so people can get to know us. And by the way, if anyone is interested to get their questions answered, they can just come to our website, portlandmuslims.com, and they can ask their questions. But then I guess a final thought would be about how to diffuse something like this. Is even if you don't know a Muslim, to be able to express that there has never in history been a situation where an entire group of people were bad, or even a majority group of people. That you can think of any nationality, you can think of any gender, you can think of any religious affiliation. And in each of them, there have been good apples and bad apples. But it's always been impossible, and I think we can't really always speak in absolutes, but I think this is one of those where you can, that there, history has never shown a group that's entirely evil or vindictive or oppressive. So once, and every time we do that, we've apologized. What we've done to Black Americans in this country, what we've done to Japanese Americans in this country, or the Hispanics, homosexuals, whenever we label an entire group based off of stereotypes that we may have heard or seen, we've paid the price and we've apologized. So maybe we should protect ourselves from doing something like that moving forward.
And one last question, Harris. Ahmadiyya Muslim community here in our Portland metro area is always so open to people coming and visiting. Do you have any future upcoming events that people might take advantage of to come and meet you?
Yes. So we do every year during the month of Ramadan, this month of fasting that we're in right now, we have these weekly, every Saturday evening, open house dinners, where we'll meet at 8:30 at the Rizwan Mosque. We'll have a short presentation just about something that we can learn about during this month. We'll break the fast together with some food. People can observe as Muslims perform their congregational prayers. And then it's just an open complimentary meal where we can break bread with one another. We still have two more Saturdays left, so I invite everyone and anyone from the city of Portland to join us this Saturday at 8:30 p.m. To break bread together and to understand a little more about your Muslim neighbors. Of course, every Friday at 1:30 p.m., we meet at the mosque for our weekly prayer service. But all of this is on our website at portlandmuslims.com. And you can contact us there and find out about our events. And we just hope that we can host more people. We would love the good problem of figuring out how to accommodate people. That's a great problem to have, and we don't have that problem frequently enough.
Harris Safar, thank you again for taking the time to speak with us.
Thank you, Lisa. I really appreciate this.
All right. And take care.
You too.
I'm Lisa Loving, KBOO News.